the intro.
Hello. Hello. And welcome to... Coffee with Cashy. I'm your host, Dr. Trevor Cashy. Today's co-host, this delicious lime sparkling water coffee substitute. In other lessons, we spoke about the stress response in some depth, okay, and what happens during the excitation of the central nervous system through stimulus, primary cognitive appraisals, affective integration, and secondary cognitive appraisals generating action tendencies, also known as Dr. Cashy's infamous acronym, STFU. Definitely made that one up all by myself, although it was an accident. There is a stimulus, and then comes thinking, and then feeling, and then urging. And that cognitive, emotive, behavioral tension cultivates and cashes in for a response to that stimulus. And if it be a frustrating stimulus, or a stressor, as it were, to avoid it, shrink it, or resolve it. However, when threats are psychogenic, that is, they arise from the old noodle, we stress ourselves out because of experiences we have or experiences we imagine that actually have zero effect on our physical safety. We do things like worry, we suppress, fear rejection, start manifesting what-ifs, or like the what-if syndrome, right? And have otherwise indignant paroxysms. That is to say, we throw fits. In short bursts, okay, the stress response is actually hormetic. That is a fancy science word that means it's good in small doses, okay? Now, when people use their minds to worry, fret, ruminate, or otherwise fantasize about violence and the like, well, their body has a biological stress response as if it's actually happening. If you think about scary stuff, your body's biochemistry changes too as if it is encountering scary stuff. And if you're thinking about violent stuff, well, then your body's physiological biochemical state changes as if something violent is happening. Okay? And the loose combination of these interactions can be called psychophysiology, how the mind communicates with the body, versus neurophysiology, which in context is closer to how the brain communicates with the body. So I'm talking about the physicality of the organ, the central organ, and the physicality of the peripheral organs versus, you know, consciousness, kind of the abstraction of what your mind is doing, what you're thinking, and the peripheral organs in that regard. Now, the stress response has an impact on pretty much organ system, the biochemical stress response, and being in a state of chronic stress, chronic distress, okay, will cause expedited deterioration of those organ systems because of the catabolic hormones associated with the stress response. The most famous ones being cortisol and adrenaline. There are others, okay, trust me. You can Google the fancy term glucocorticoid, etc., all right? In a normal situation, these catabolic hormones are good. They free up energy to have an effective response to whatever the threat is. However, today, okay, given the last series of lessons, I thought it would be neat to go over the so-called relaxation response, where the sympathetic nervous system is fight or flight, the parasympathetic nervous system is rest and digest. The main goal of psychophysiology is to study the interactions of our interpretations of reality and the impact it has on the sort of yin and yang of the nervous system and how to cue the body to go into fight or flight and rest and digest when it's appropriate, because both of them are good, and tune the nervous system to keep us healthier for longer. For reference, I think more than 75% of all doctor's visits, and probably even a greater percentage, maybe even 90% or so of common and chronic diseases, are directly related to having too much fire and too little water. This goes beyond our emotions, okay? Emotions are the main drivers of the state of the nervous system, and thus your general health when you're awake. So, although I do talk about feelings a lot, it's easy to think about, like, you know, wanting to be happy and all this stuff is all well and good. The reality is that feelings have a direct correlation with the physical state of your body, which is why there's a lot of focus there. The difference in your peripheral physiology, that is what your organs are doing between being awake and being asleep, is primarily your emotional state. Want to know why a nerd like me has a doctoral degree in biochemistry with a decade of lab experience ranging from photosynthesis to non-small cell lung cancer and formulating half a dozen lines of nutraceuticals and traveled across the world to consult for hundreds of Olympic athletes and their teams to improve their performance has settled on talking about feelings? This is why. It's my best Seinfeld impression, okay? This is where health starts and where health ends. People love to think about health in terms of how long you live, and I argue against that. Health is really about how fast you kill yourself. And I will state firmly that the front runner in the race to a shorter, sicker, and fatter life is being in a state of chronic stress, distress. In the parasympathetic state, you know, where there was once elevated blood sugar contributing to diabetes, there is now normal blood sugar to feed your brain, muscles, and other organs appropriately. Where there is high cortisol eating at your heart and thyroid and other fancy important organs, there is normal cortisol to keep energy available. Where adrenaline is pumping, blowing out your blood vessels, it's now on a slow drip to keep you alert and active in ways to keep your cardiovascular system elastic and resilient. Where there was once blood in your muscles and holding tons of tension, lots of chronic pain, migraines, ulcers, IBS, and other forms of chronic fatigue, there's now blood going back into the central compartments of your body, enriching them with more oxygen and nutrients that they may have been deprived of. I could go on for hours about this specifically. Hopefully, you get the picture. You see how big of a deal it is. Emotions are a big deal because they lead to stress. All right? And stress is a big deal because chronic stress deteriorates your organs. And if you want to have a long, fulfilling life that is full of joy at the same time, well, helping to manage stress is a good thing. And managing emotions is probably the best way to manage stress. Really is. Thankfully, on the most superficial level, there's a whole host of techniques available to take a person out of the sympathetic state and into a parasympathetic state. As a pro tip, the way Dr. Cashier remembers the difference is that he remembers P for pleasure, okay? The so-called relaxation response, which is closer to being the absence of the stress response, it hinges on three major things. One, mental focus. Two, a quiet environment. And three, process orientation versus goal orientation. Yes, goals are bad, although I do have other videos on why I think goals are stupid. This is a situation where having a goal is even more stupider than normal, right? So let's focus on number one first, mental focus. Effectively on breathing, on posture, on repetitive movements, even a short prayer, on an image, on a mantra, on a short saying or figure of speech. Okay, think of it this way. This is what a lot of people would consider something like meditation. However, this is more something that is meditative rather than meditation itself. Although meditation itself is an excellent option, Westerners typically have trouble, present company included, with the idea of and participating in meditation for whatever reason. But I will say there are plenty of things that are meditative that give similar benefits. Think of it this way, okay? The mind can only focus. So instead of trying to turn the spotlight off, it's best to focus that spotlight on something else. All other areas will be dark, okay? Focus in one area silences chatter in all the others. Where you wander, because you will wander, where you wander is incidental. Just notice that you wander. That's all that matters. Notice it and then go back to focusing on whatever it is you were focusing on before. And again, it's easier to focus on things like breathing, posture, repetitive movements, short prayers, images, mantras, short sayings, figures of speech, etc. Okay? This does have a direct impact on the sympathetic and parasympathetic kind of tug of war, so to speak, the yin and the yang, like I said. So number two is a quiet environment. Is a quiet environment a requirement? No. Okay. If you're just starting out with somatic quieting, that is to say changing the directionality of your nervous system, so to speak, then starting out in a quiet place will give you a fighting chance in compared to, say, a noisy environment filled with more potential stressors. However, as you progress, you'll be able to quiet your body in environments where people lose their damn minds. And this is of great, 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 great competitive benefits. Referencing the previous part, we're talking about working with gold medalists, etc. I'll tell you why right now. It's easy to think people make mistakes or have poor performances because they need more education or more skills, and that's almost entirely wrong in a lot of circumstances. Under many circumstances, the person is plenty competent and they're plenty skilled, but their performance anxiety, that is their stress response, cripples their ability to perform when harnessing their skills is most beneficial to them. So who does better? The person that can stay calm during stressful situation and has relatively low skills, however, retains all their skills in a stressful environment, or the super skilled, overly competent person, like extremely educated, extremely skilled, that succumbs to stress and therefore gets handicapped to the point to where their skills are lower, when it is most beneficial for them to harness their superior skills, which in itself is a reasonable stressor. Or even the perfectly skilled and highly competent person that avoids any stressful situation and then watches people that have fewer skills and less competence end up getting ahead of them and doing better than they are. You want to know why that happens? This is why. To that end, remember that you can train yourself to be relaxed in situations where other people are stressed out of their minds. And funny enough, the main tool for that is systematic desensitization and shame extermination. These are tools that we discussed, you know, a few lessons back. That is, to expose yourself to these sorts of stressful situations on purpose and with purpose, to start the stress response on purpose, and then stay exposed to that stressor on purpose until your stress response fades while still being exposed to the stressor. Cutting out when your stress response is at its peak will actually reinforce the stress response. So if you get super stressed out and then you ditch and you leave, that will just make the stress response even worse the next time you do it. So cultivate systematic desensitization and shame extermination, as it were. It's about exposing yourself to the stressor, allowing yourself to be stressed, and then also allowing yourself to calm down while in the presence of that stressor. That is how that works. And you can also do that through your imagination. You actually can do a lot of systematic desensitization through guided imagery, but that's another beast. It's pretty cool, pretty powerful stuff, okay? There's lots of psychophysiological data showing that. Now, I could give a whole talk about this on its own, and it's mentioned here and there within the lessons if you'll look, they find it interspersed. The more often you do things that stress you out and come out on the other side alive and functional, the faster you will achieve a relaxed state while doing them, which means that you can achieve a relaxed state before, during, and after. And yes, there's piles of psychophysiological data showing that. But do you really need it? People start out doing things nervous and stressed, and as they improve their skills, they become more and more chill, which then also improves their self-efficacy and performance even more. That proof is good enough, right? Now, number three is process orientation rather than goal orientation. Now, why I think goals are pretty much dumb stuff is the topic of another rant. However, TKN does quite a bit of stress management with people, and we frequently run into competitive, goal-oriented types that are, ironically enough, overrun with stress and have chronic issues related to stress because of their hyper-competitive goal orientation. As a secret between you and I just call it being competitive. Sometimes it's overt, sometimes it's restrained, and it typically depends on age and maturity level. It's either something that's blown entirely out of proportion, like all the stress management stuff, because it's silly, because, you know, sleep is for the weak, right? Even though the strongest people in the world, mentally and physically, tend to sleep the most. Or it's the equal opposite. And this is actually about Tabitha Took, TKN's champion. I think you know about Tabitha by now. She came in on this whole stress management thing in full-on competitive mode. Dr. Cassie, I'm going to be the super best relaxer you've ever seen. Just you wait. I'm going to learn this relaxation better and do it faster than anybody else. As I watch her heart rate go up 22 beats per minute and her systolic blood pressure going up 12 points while she's exclaiming to me how she's going to be so good at relaxing, right? There's lots of pathways to achieve the relaxation response. We'll just call it that for the sake of conversation. And you can see the conditions are met with relative ease, right? Stretching, yoga, tai chi, biofeedback, breathing exercises, hypnosis, guided meditation, progressive muscle relaxation, other forms of exercise. My favorite is to combine quite a few modalities at once. My top one is, as you probably guessed it, is physical activity, and more specifically, walking. It meets pretty much all of the criteria if you set it up properly. Walking is probably the unsung hero of health and fitness and intelligence and everything else is good in the world. As Nietzsche said, paraphrase, the only ideas worth a damn are the ones won through walking. This is a game where if you try to win, you will lose, because the whole point is to play. Thank you so much for learning. Stay rational. Until next time. Want to continue having coffee with Dr. Kashi? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. Thank you, and see you next week. Dr. Kashi is out!